You know, Unique has been just going through some stuff. We kind of shared this in the first service a little bit, and doctors don't know what's going on. This morning she fell and landed on the back of her head and cut her head open. And I was teasing her. I said, what did you tear up when you hit it so hard with that hard head of yours? Here's the thing. You know, you'll never hear Unique complain. You never hear her gripe, and at least I haven't. Kenny might have, but... But you know what, though? Honestly, the Bible says there's power and there's life and death in the tongue. And there's a lot of times we can even talk ourselves into getting sicker. Right? Amen? And so it's just really important just to continue just to talk to God and hand it to God and let Him do things. Amen? He's a good God. I want to start with something. I saw this. I thought it was kind of cute. An old preacher was dying. He sent a message for his banker and his lawyer, both church members, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered up to the bedroom, and they entered the room. The preacher held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on each side of the bed. The preacher grasped their hands and sighed contentedly, smiled, and stared at the ceiling for a time. No one said anything. Both the banker and the lawyer were touched and flattered that the preacher would ask them to be with him during his final moments. They were also puzzled. Finally, the banker said, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come here?" The old preacher mustered up his strength and then said weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go." Oh, mercy sakes. You know what? The Bible says laughter does good like what? It's good to laugh. You know, there's a time to laugh. And of course, there's times that we don't laugh. But when you learn to laugh, our family, we laugh all the time. We laugh a lot. Laugh at each other. Laugh at ourselves. They all like to laugh at me. But laughter really does good. There's something in laughter. When you can see things in a positive light and trust God, and then when bad times come, everybody goes through bad times. Everybody goes through hard times. Everybody goes through times that they wish they could get out of those. And the reason I'm saying that, because sometimes we think, well, I'm the only one going through something. But that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. Everybody goes through stuff. But I'm telling you, God said this. He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, we're going to throw the scripture up we've been reading every week. Let's throw it up there. Ezekiel 36, 26. And let's read it together. It says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart." Now, today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about success. Leave that scripture up there just for a second, Zach, if you don't mind. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about success. How many knows that God wants us to be successful? God wants you to be successful in the things of God. Right? He wants you to be successful. Now, if things are going on within home life, He can give you a new heart. You know what a new heart does? A new heart lets you see things in a different light. If things aren't going on real smooth, God gives you a new heart and you start to see things in a new light. And He says this, He says, "I'll put a new spirit within you. Vibrant, awake, and alive." I like that. And He says, I love this part. "And I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart." Who's ever been stony and stubborn before? Who still is? Oh. Now, we got to understand something. David was successful. He was successful because of his heart. You know, at a very young age, probably 13 to 15, David was anointed the king. Can you imagine your 14 or 15-year-old son being a king of something? My mom always allowed me to be the king of my bedroom as long as my other brothers weren't there. He was an amazing guy. You know, he learned fighting skills. I shared this with the first service. Years ago, I got in a fight with a guy I didn't know. And it was right in the middle of the street. And so me being the tough guy that I was, I started acting like I knew karate. It's really embarrassing even just to say that. And this guy pops me in the face, you know. And we fought like a couple of girls. My face was all scratched up. I had a black eye. And then I had to go see my girlfriend and explain to her. And that wasn't Cheryl at the time. I didn't know her. Because once I seen her, woohoo! Anyway. David learned how to fight. He was taking care of the sheep. There's a couple things happened when he was taking care of sheep. How many thought anything good can happen from taking care of sheep? He's out in the middle of nowhere, and he learned how to play music. He learned how to worship God and sing songs, which is amazing. But also, the Bible says this, that during this time when he was taking care of the sheep, a bear came up to him, and he took the bear out. And a lion came up to him, and he took the lion out. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I took my wife out, and she was a lot like a lion. Or a bear. I'm not saying my wife. Never. She's wonderful. Okay, Cheryl, that's the last I'm going to talk about you this morning. She says, oh, thank you, Jesus. I won't kill you till after the service is over. You know, I heard this old saying. It's this. No man has ever been shot while doing the dishes. They always wait till later. So anyway, David was this incredibly successful guy. There were some things that made him successful. When Saul was ruling and he wasn't ruling very good, there was a lot of outcasts. So when David's running from King Saul, the Bible says in the cave of Adullam, there was 400 sweaty, stinky, outcast guys all griping and complaining. How many thinks that'd be fun? And they all come to the cave, and in the cave, David starts making them his mighty warriors. If God puts someone in your life, don't see them as they are. See them as what they can become. If God puts somebody in your life, don't see them as they are. See them as they can become. Now next week, we've got a kind of a treat for you. Next week, we're going to do, because this is the fourth week of cultivating a heart for God. So next week, we've got three guys, Marvin, Ray, and Marshall. They're going to do a recap of this message. So, because they've all been preaching out of Derby, they've been preaching these messages. And I'm telling you, they're doing a fabulous job. Amen? Amen? Yeah, that's great. I want to tell you something else. We had a meeting last, because we're talking about heart for God. We had a meeting on a Sunday night. We had our Derby Acres team. We're meeting and talking. So we're taking care of the Derby Acres Church, and we have five different people that want to go out there and preach. And so we're in the room, we're talking, we're setting the calendar, who's going to preach when, and making sure everything's lined up right. And so what we do is, so whatever message I preach, they preach the following week. So we keep some order and some things going the same direction out there, so it's not kind of crazy. But let me tell you what happened. I thought it was so cool, because we were talking about Jordan. Jordan, I'm going to use you just for a second. Do you mind? Use you and abuse you. So Jordan is like, because he told me here a while back, because he said, you know, when we have enough people up here, we'll send some worship people out there too. But he said this too. He said, you know, I'll do that, but I don't want to preach. We're sitting there around last week, I think it was, and we're talking, and Jordan says, I want to preach. I've been watching Jordan. Well, both you guys are just growing. Like, they get a chance to preach in the youth all the time. And but you know what? I think that's awesome when you step out of your... Because it's a little scary, huh, Jordan? You know, the other day we had to go out, on the first of the Sunday of January, we had to go out there, and I asked Jordan to close the service off, and I understood he didn't sleep at all that night because he was just a little bit worried. But you know what? I love that, because that means that he's concerned that it goes good. Amen? Not taking it lightly. So, you know, when you have the right heart, God does amazing things. Now, when you have the right heart, God will bring the right people to you. And I like what God says about King David. See, all these great things. David goes in, he conquers Jerusalem. And a little bit later, it becomes this place that's all set up. And it becomes the capital for worship. It's the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Right? All because of King David and his heart. So look at this. 2 Samuel 7:16 is going to be on the screen. It says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So like I said, when you have the right heart, God is going to bring the right people around you. Let's throw that up on the screen real fast. If you're taking notes, you can take that. God's success will bring others around you. You know, years ago, I was... We had bought a couple of jet skis, and neither one of them ran. How many knows a jet ski that doesn't run isn't a lot of fun? And so I thought, I've got to figure out how to rebuild this thing. And I've never rebuilt anything. Raise your hand if you've ever rebuilt a motor before. I know a few of you have. Wow, a lot more here in the first service than there was in the second service. How many, you can't rebuild anything? So anyway, so this guy shows up at my house, and he just says this. He says, I want to help you rebuild Rejecki. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I said, but, you know, honestly, I didn't even know the guy. I kind of knew that he was related to somebody, but I didn't know him. But he said, I want to help you. And I said, well, I can't pay you. He says, I don't want no money. I want a jet ski partner. So we spent about 4 to 5 hours a night, every night, for about 2 weeks and got that jet ski rebuilt. I learned a little bit later, this guy's name's Carl. We become really close friends. And every time we went jet skiing together. We went jet skiing together one time in the rain. We had so much fun. So you see, what happens is when you start becoming God's success, doing what God wants you to, God will bring others around you. King David, you know, he had what we call his mighty men. I want to just take a moment. I want to talk about these mighty men. If you're going to go in a battle, do you guys want the worship leader or do you guys want a mighty warrior? That didn't sound good, did it? Let me put it this way. If you're going to go in a battle, you want a trained warrior. So David, he's got what's called the mighty, and he groups them. So there's first the three. Let me tell you, if you're going to be one of David's three, let me read you about one of David's main three guys. And I love this guy, Jashobeam, the Hakamite. He was the leader of these three. Said he once used his spear to kill 800, say that with me, say 800 enemy warriors in one battle. Dude, if I'm going up 4 or 5 guys, this guy can take on 800. I want him with me. Next in rank among the three was Eleazar, son of Dodi. He says, Eleazar and David stood together against all the Philistines when the entire Israelite army fled, and those two took them on by themselves. I like that. And I like this one. This one is really kind of hilarious. And then there was Benaiah, and it goes on for about 20 texts. He said, Benaiah, he did many heroic deeds, which including killing two champions of Moab. And it says, and another time on a snowy day, check this out, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a ditch and killed it. Who's going to chase a lion? I mean, think about it. He chased a lion down into on a snowy day. If you've ever been around someplace that's snowy, right, Debbie? It's slippery. He chases it down into a ditch on a snowy day and kills it. Wow, this is his might. God just caused all kinds of crazy men to come around David and support him. Now, all of this success was because of where his heart was at. So here's the next point. Takes the right heart to deal with success. You know, if you're really, really young and you get a lot of success like David had from an early boy, sometimes we can go a little crazy. How many's ever met somebody that was a little crazy? We were in Arkansas. We first got to Arkansas, and Brother Billy was introducing me to this family. And this family, this gentleman, he bought his son, 15 years old, a brand new Corvette. Corvette? I've never owned a Corvette. This kid had a Corvette at 15 years old. We left some 11 years later, and that kid was driving an old beat-up, messed-up van. It was the worst thing his dad could have ever done for him, buy him this beautiful Corvette. It went to his head, and he had all this pride. And then at one point, he had a motorcycle, one of these calabooses, whatever they call those. Yeah, something like that real fast thing. And he actually was going down the highway 120 miles an hour and noticed a car in front of him when it was too late. And he hits his brake, slides up in it, and he slowed down quite a bit, but still the tailpipe went all the way up through his leg of the car. I mean, you just don't. Listen, if you've got a child, you're going to buy him a car. I told my son wanted a car. He said, Dad, I want a fast car. I said, son, we're going to get you a car that goes 0 to 60 in 2 weeks. When your kids are young, they don't need a fast car. We bought our kids big heavy cars. We know if they get in an accident, it'll protect them. Really, seriously. So I want to just for a minute, I want to just talk about just just briefly, there's some child actors that we've all heard about over the time because they were so young and had all the success, they didn't really do well. Sawyer Sweeten. How many's ever heard of the show Everybody Loves Raymond? Child Sweeten, or Sawyer Sweeten, committed suicide. River Phoenix, age 23, dies of an overdose. Robin Williams, of course, he wasn't a child actor, but he had so many issues going on, and a lot of started because he had such success at a young age. Heath Ledger. So not only did David have to deal with success as a king, but at his word, he could have anybody killed. But you know what? David took advice from people. He listened to him. He was the only king of Israel at times when his enemy would come against him, that at times he would spare his enemy and even set them up as kings in different places. You don't read about any other king doing that. He was an amazing man. Now, because success comes at times, so does sin. How many knows that the two S's, success and sin, can come sometimes walk hand in hand? King David, one day, all of his men are going out to war, and David's been successful for a long time. He thinks, I don't have to go out with these guys. He's sitting up on the top of his roof, and he's looking around, and here's this beautiful lady, Bathsheba, taking a bath. And he sees her. And, you know, he goes and sleeps with her. And then, because she becomes pregnant, what does he do? He goes out to her husband and tells the commander, put Uriah out front, and then pull back, and then someone's going to throw something off the top of the castle wall and kill him. And that's what happens. David killed. First he had sex outside of marriage, and then he did what? Had Uriah killed. So what was it that made David such an incredible person? His heart. Because you know what he did? Nathan the prophet comes up to him. He starts telling the story. Then he turns it back around and says, David, you're that man. Put that up on the screen after that if you can find it there. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. See, Saul wouldn't do that. Saul always blamed somebody. Adam and Eve in the garden, what happened? When they sinned in the garden, God asked him, he said, what's going on? And Adam says, God, that woman you gave me, she did it. It's her fault. We have a way of wanting to blame everybody else. But you know what? That's the cool part about David. David didn't cast blame. When he had sin, he took care of it. Listen, nobody's going to be perfect. Every one of us at time will do something stupid. How many did something stupid on the way to church this morning? Wow, that's pretty soon, huh? See, he had a heart to deal with sin. If you're going to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you have to take care of sin. Don't sweep it under the curb and cover it. I went to a back in Arkansas, one of the young men. It was so hilarious. This guy had never kissed a girl ever in his life, and he was about 19 years old, and he come up to me one night, and he said this. His name was Chris Tedder. His daddy, we had his funeral several months back, and Chris walked up to me, and he says, you know what? I kissed a girl. He was so excited that he kissed a girl. I thought, wow, Chris, that's cool. A little bit later, he married that girl. So I went to his bachelor party. Chris built his own house at 19 years old. Him and his daddy. Oh, this kid's a worker. And we're at Chris's house one day, and the house is like, his wife told me he had to clean up the house after the bachelor party. So he lifts up he had one of these rugs on the backside of the door. He lifts it up, sweeps all the dirt under the rug, and set it back down. We don't want to do that to our sin. When we know we've done something wrong, take care of our sin. Amen. That's good preaching. It's real important. See, David also knew how to forgive. See, so for a minute, we're going to end in a minute, but I want to define success just for a minute. You know, I know we had the years past. Probably a lot of you remember the sayings like the man with the biggest toys wins and you know, the most expensive toys and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't define success. There's a guy, his name is Tom Matlick. He started freelancing for the Houghton Mifflin Company. And then he started the Providence Journal in September 92. And he's just a young guy. And he left because of alcoholism. Then he was hired to a corporate finance job. And then he ends up helping sell this cable business back in the 90s for $1.4 billion. How many knows that's a lot of money? Especially a lot of money back in those days. So within weeks, it was announced that he was going to be the new chief financial officer of the Providence Journal Company. And this company's 175 years old. It's always been private. So he talked to them, and he conned them into taking the company public. And it wasn't long. Like 90 days later, they ended up selling the company for $2 billion. He had all the success. He was in every major. At age 31, he was in every major newspaper in America. And they're talking about what a wonder kid he was. So amazing this way he was able to do these things. And he drives up to his house one day. He's pulled up into a church parking lot. His house is on the corner. And he's sitting there. He made all these incredible deals that no one else could make. And he said, I just felt empty. I felt like I had nothing. Doing all this stuff, and I felt like I have nothing. I've really not done a lot. He gets a call from his mom. He says, Mom, my wife is leaving me. She's taking the two kids, and she also told me she's going to take all my money. He started realizing to be successful, it's not how much money you've gained. If we want God's success, and God wants us to be successful, I believe that. But that success looks a little bit different. Let me tell you this story, and then we're going to try to wrap it up here. Years ago, I always liked those. Kathy used to always get them for me, those 3x5 at-a-glance calendars. And so I put all the dates, all the stuff. So anything that's important gets in red. Something I need to look at is blue, and then green's other stuff. Well, I had my calendar, and it was just completely full of everything. My daughter and my son, my daughter was 12, my son was 10. And I remember they came into my office one day, and they're looking at the calendar with all the colors all over it and all this stuff. And then my daughter looks at it, and she says, Daddy, she says, how come my birthday's not on there? You know, I'll be honest, I got so busy in ministry, and ministry is important. You don't get in ministry just to not care about people, but there has to be a balance. And I got way out of balance. And so not having my kids up there, really what they were saying is everything else was more important than my kids. You know what? Tamara got me a calendar the other day, a 3x5 calendar. You know what I've done every since then? The very first thing I put on my calendars is my kids' birthdays. Success is being a great dad. Success is being a man or woman of God. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Money doesn't buy happiness. I'd like to try. But it doesn't buy happiness. So God wants us all to be successful. Successful is when you become a man or woman of God. Amen? God defines success a whole lot different than what we define success. And I love that about our God. King David, he's about to die. Worship team, come back up here. King David's about to die. And so he gives Solomon, his son, this following advice. And this is what he says. 1 Kings 2:3, Zach. Do what the Lord your God commands and follow his teachings. You know, when you're getting ready to pass from this world to the next, you get real serious. Let me say this too. We had Betty Stewart's service yesterday, and she was always such a classy lady. But you know, when I've done a lot of funerals over the years, worked for hospice for a long time in Arkansas, and just did a lot of funerals, and what you find out is when someone's on their deathbed, they're really serious. You know, you wonder what they're thinking. Well, I'll tell you what they're thinking. They're wondering about what's going to happen when they die. We get a little bit choked up. We don't want to talk to them about those things. It's really important because that might be a matter where they spend eternity, right? But see, this is what David says. Do what the Lord your God commands and follow his teachings. Obey everything written in the law of Moses. And then he says what? Then you'll be a success. It's, you know, David had everything and he didn't list any of that stuff. Then you'll be, no matter what you do or where, no matter what you do or where you go, hang out with God, spend time with him. You'll become a success. Let me tell you, yeah, go ahead. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's give him a big hand. I want to end in this. I was sitting there yesterday and I was thinking, okay, what does a success look like? Let me say this. If God has blessed you financially, and I pray that he does, I pray that he blesses your socks off. So if God blesses you incredibly well, you know what? That's a sign to help others. God doesn't give us money so we can keep it to ourselves and say, hey, look what I got. So we can be a blessing to others. You never know. Your neighbor might be hurting. You go do something that's really sacrificial for him. You might win someone to Jesus for eternity. You just never know. That's what a success looks like. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe this morning, maybe the enemy is just beating you up one side and down the other about different things. But I'm telling you, God loves us. But he always, as King David did, he always wants us to deal with our sin. Take care of it. Don't sweep it under the rug. So this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you just got some things you want to take care of, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. No one else is looking. Everybody's head's bowed. Okay, amen. Amen. Church, let's all pray together. Say, God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for sending your son to die just for me. Lord God, I confess my sins. Ask you to forgive me. Jesus, come and live in my heart. I need you. In Jesus' name. Now for the rest of us, if you're here, maybe just some stuff is going on. God, I pray your covering, your grace, your mercy, and your strength. In Jesus' name, God, just cover us as only you can. We give you all the praise, the thanks, in the name of Christ. We're going to sing a little bit of the song. Go ahead. Amen. Guys, as you're going out the door, as you're leaving, I just want to remind you two things. If you're going to go to the banquet, please sign up. Also, too, for the men, there's a fellowship Tuesday night at 6. Bless you. Bye.